for joining us. I'm Diane Rehm. The U.S. auto industry was rocked last week with news of the massive recall and production stops from Toyota. And while news of the U.S. car manufacturers on life support dominated the headlines much of last year, Ford announced its first profit for since 2005. Joining me to talk about what's going on in the U.S. auto industry, David Shepherdson, Washington Bureau Chief of the Detroit News, from a studio at WBGO in Newark, New Jersey, Paul Ingracia. He's a journalist and author of Comeback, The Fall and Rise of the American Automobile Industry, and Bill Visnick. He's senior editor for EdmondsAutoObserver.com. He joins us from WDUQ in Pittsburgh. Throughout the hour, I'll look forward to hear your questions, comments. Join us on 800-433-8850. Send us your email to drshow@wamu.org. You can also join us on Facebook and Twitter. Good morning to you, David.
Good morning.
Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, Diane.
And Bill, good morning to you.
Good morning, Diane. Thanks for having me.
All right. And David, I'll start with you. Tell us what Toyota is saying this morning about the recalls.
Well, Toyota's saying they found a fix. Two fixes, actually. One, brand new pedals that they're already shipping to their assembly plants. And six of those are going to stop working as of today for at least a week as a result of the stop sale. And secondly, they're going to have a field fix, which is a steel bar that they will insert into the accelerator pedal to prevent this sticky pedal. This should reduce friction, reduce surface tension, prevent these problems in the future.
How do we know it's the pedal?
Well, they've done extensive testing. They've run this fix by federal regulators who have, you know, blessed it. They don't approve fixes, but they haven't, you know, rejected it. And they're fairly confident that this is the problem, at least insofar as the sticky pedal problem. They've had other accelerator problems as well.
And how many models, how many cars are potentially affected?
2.3 million vehicles have been recalled in the U.S. It required them to stop selling eight of their most popular models, which last year accounted for 60% of Toyota sales. There's another at least 1.9 million in Europe and China that are likely to be recalled, and probably a few hundred thousand more throughout the world at least.
Bill Visnick, when did this problem actually first surface?
Diane, Toyota said they started to see some manifestation of this problem some months ago in sort of tertiary reports and indications from some of their dealers in contacts with their customers that there might be something going on with this particular component. They say they've studied the problems, they've looked at the incidents, they've tried to understand over the months what may or may not have been going on with this situation, and from there decided to, that had isolated it to the accelerator pedal, a damper in the pedal.
Are there any other car manufacturers who use this same part?
The exact same part, no. It's very, you know, while it's common amongst, you know, within a manufacturer to use the same component like this across many model lines, typically the design is not transferred to other car makers. There are many differences in dimensions and other needs within the place where an assembly like this would be that would make it so that it would not be applicable to another car maker.
So where can consumers go to find out if their particular vehicle, be it a Prius, a Camry, an Avalon, whatever, where can they go to find out if their vehicle has been affected, Bill?
Diane, there are numerous avenues of information at this point for for determining if your vehicle is affected. First and foremost, of course, you can go to toyota.com. I believe their website is very informative. The NHTSA website will help. And, of course, in a self-promotional plug here, I will say that Edmunds.com has every bit of information you could possibly want, including how to determine if your vehicle is affected at our website as well, Edmunds.com.
Is it as simple as understanding, David, whether there is a J or not on the serial number?
In just a couple of models, like the Camry, the J vehicles have not been recalled. For, I think, at least five of the models, it's all of the vehicles. But it's fairly simple, as you said. Just go to your VIN number and determine what the first letter is. I would point out that the Pontiac Vibe, which was jointly engineered with General Motors, has also been recalled, although that brand is in the process of shutting down. There's basically none left in the U.S. and about 1,000 in Canada. Ford also looked at a similar pedal on some vans it was building. It builds only in China for production, for sale there, but didn't find any problems. Honda and other U.S. manufacturers that use that same pedal manufacturer have also said their pedals are different and do not need to be recalled.
Paul Ingracia, how is all this involving Toyota going to affect the entire auto industry?
Well, Diane, it'll have ramifications in several ways. I think, first of all, it will probably take some sales from Toyota over the next month at least, and maybe longer than that, and shift sales that Toyota otherwise would get to other manufacturers. The people who benefit could be Ford, General Motors, Hyundai, Honda, Subaru, you name it. So I think that'll be the biggest effect, that Toyota will lose market share, and that market share will be divided among other manufacturers. I think it's going to sort of upset some of the dynamics in the used car market. Let's put it this way. If you were looking to trade in an older Toyota, it's certainly worth less on the resale market than it was a week or two ago, and that's going to be another issue here. So there's all kinds of ramifications here, and I think that the big issue really is how long is this going to and how badly will this affect consumers' perceptions of Toyota? Will this be a lingering issue, or will this be something that the company can put past it relatively quickly, and that remains to be seen.
Paul Ingracia, he's a journalist and author of Come Back, The Fall and Rise of the American Automobile Industry. Bill Visnick is senior editor of EdmundsAutoObserver.com, and David Shepherdson, Washington bureau chief of the Detroit News. Do join us, 800-433-8850. Send us your email to drshow@wamu.org. David Shepherdson, the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration was called, invited to come on this program. They declined. The Director of Transportation declined to come on here. Is this a bigger story than we are hearing from Toyota?
Oh, absolutely. A couple points to that. Number one, Congress is investigating. There are going to be two hearings starting Thursday. Later this month, the Energy and Commerce Committee has asked for all documents from both Toyota and NHTSA about what they knew when, how they responded to each and every complaint going back since 2000.
And what do we know about that thus far?
Well, we know that NHTSA investigated at least a half a dozen times, got over 2,000 complaints of unintended acceleration, and for the most part did very little. Toyota got complaints about both the floor mats and the sticky pedals in 2007 and before, and opted to take, you know, a fairly low-cost option, which was just to recall 55,000 floor mats. At the time, they didn't even know which cars they were on, since they had to send these notices to 750,000 owners. Secondly, I think it's going to completely reshape the relationship between the regulators and the auto companies. I mean, the regulators often wait months or years watching problems to make sure that there's enough of a population to demand a recall.
I think does that mean you have to wait until a certain number of people die?
Well, in some cases, yes. I mean, they do watch these problems. I mean, you know, there are millions of cars. This is a relatively rare instance, and until this major accident in August, which killed the off-duty California Highway Patrol officer and the three others, it didn't really get, you know, the full attention of both Toyota and Nitsan. Arguably, without that accident, they might not have done either one of these recalls.
Paul Ingrassia, is this a sense that you have that, well, let me put this another way. When did the Japanese open its first U.S. manufacturing plant?
Well, the first Japanese manufacturing plant in the United States really was opened in 1979 by Honda in a place called Marysville, Ohio, near Columbus, but it only made motorcycles at the time, and the first automobiles came out of that factory in 1982. So that was the first Japanese assembly plant in America.
And what about Toyota? When did it establish its first plant here in the United States, David?
It was the early 80s. I don't remember the exact year.
And did the Japanese control production at that point completely, or was there a partnership there, Bill Visnick?
The Toyota plant was a wholly owned plant, the first one in Georgetown, Kentucky. But one of the earliest Toyota plants in this country was the joint venture plant that Dave mentioned earlier that makes the Pontiac Vibe, but also made the Toyota Corolla and some Tacoma trucks, and that was in Fremont, California.
Bill Visnick, he's senior editor of EdmondsAutoObserver.com. When we come back, you'll hear from someone with a very different idea. And we're back talking specifically during this portion of the program about Toyota's problems, its sticky pedals, its floor mats, its claims that you've got to take your car back in for attention if there are any problems whatsoever, but a recall of many, many millions of cars. Joining us now by phone from Phoenix, Arizona, is retired federal attorney Jordan Ziprin. He owned a 2002 Camry. Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning.
You claim that the electronic throttle defects are the problem, and not the floor mats, and not the accelerator pedal. What's the evidence of that?
Sure, I will give you that evidence. First of all, your guests have a slight misunderstanding about the relevant facts. The problems with the acceleration commenced in 2002, approximately. I purchased a 2002 Camry that year, and I had an accident in 2005.
What kind of an accident?
My car began, I placed it in reverse. It accelerated a very high rate of speed, flipped around, crashed into a utility box. I was lucky I was not electrocuted, and I was lucky that some passersby in the street were not killed.
I gather that you have been in touch with the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. Tell me what you placed before them.
Okay. I went to the Toyota National, I'll call it NHTSA, that's the name of the agency.
Yes.
The acronym. I went through their beta database and found that there were hundreds and hundreds of such incidents which were reported involving both Toyota and Lexus vehicles. They sent a mechanical engineer to investigate my defect petition, and I knew by doing research that this involved an electronic issue. And I asked them, why didn't you send an electronic engineer? And I was first told that they didn't employ electronic engineers. That was by the investigator. I then called the senior counsel, a senior counsel for NHTSA, and he told me that they did employ electronic engineers. I said, well, I don't understand why there's such a conflict in testimony, and I sent them a letter to that effect. Well, to make a long story short, they dismissed my petition, claiming it was based upon ambiguous evidence. But the point I'm trying to make, and which I'd like to get across to you and your audience and your guests, is that the pedal that they claim is defective was made by a company called CTS Corporation. CTS, in a news release dated January 29th, 2010, stated specifically that it never made the acceleration pedal for the Lexus ever. And it only began making the acceleration pedal for the Toyota vehicles beginning in 2005. So the explanation for all the Lexus accidents is just, it just doesn't support their contentions. And then the NHTSA database also establishes that the 2002 through 2004 vehicles, which are included in my petition, are still having the same types of acceleration accidents in the years 2007 through 2010.
So let me understand, Mr. Ziprin. I gather you first sent this petition in 2005, and you are resending it, or you resent it again last night. Is that correct?
I actually didn't mail it yesterday because I found the CTS news release late Saturday evening. And so I added an addendum to it, which I mailed a copy of that letter to someone in your office. See, originally, the New York Times issued a release which stated that CTS didn't provide these pedals to Toyota Motors Corporation until 2005. But the CTS news release actually made it clearer. It said it never provided pedals for the Lexus vehicles and only for the Toyota vehicles beginning in 2005, which means that there is no evidence to support Toyota Motors Corporation claim that the sudden unintended acceleration events involving Lexus vehicles, by the way, which involved that police officer, between the years 2002 and the present date were the result of defective accelerator pedals and it doesn't support the claim that it even involves the Toyota vehicles, because it doesn't explain the accelerations occurring between the years 2002 and 2004, of which there were hundreds.
Jordan Ziprin, he's a retired federal attorney. He owned a 2002 Camry. David Shepherdson of the Detroit News would like to ask a question.
Well, just one point on the CTS pedals. In the sticky pedal recall, Toyota hasn't recalled any Lexus vehicles. So for the Lexus and other vehicles, the fix they've laid out was last November, when they're going to shorten the pedals, replace the floor mats, replace those, and in some cases add this brake assist system to override the gas pedal if a person steps on both the gas pedal and the brake, which Toyota says would, they don't agree there's any electronic problems, but they said it would override that if there were such a problem.
Bill Visnick.
Well, why didn't they reach that conclusion with respect to the 2002 to 2005 acceleration problems when I filed my petition in 2005?
Bill Visnick, do you want to comment?
Yes, Diane. It's my understanding that sort of what we're talking about here really is sort of almost two separate or distinct problems. This recall that Toyota is dealing with right now with the pedals, this is based on evidence that they had assembled over some time now, and deals strictly with this particular component that they themselves have identified as potentially defective or something that could cause these kinds of accelerations.
But, Bill Visnick, the question is it the gas pedal?
I would never rely on anything that Toyota Motors Corporation claims.
Well,
it is a very arrogant corporation. I had been a loyal Toyota customer, Toyota and Lexus customer, for 20 years, and when I reported the accident, they wouldn't give me the time of day.
All right, Jordan, I want to get in a number of other comments. The question, David, is, could all of these problems truly be attributable to a floor mat or an accelerator pedal, or is there a possibility that Toyota, in its hurry to open plants in the United States, perhaps created a problem with the electronic system that was overlooked?
I mean, sure, that's definitely possible. I mean, I think we may find the answer out when Congress asks for all the documents. Was there any internal debate? But I think at a minimum, this problem is multifaceted. I mean, it's partially the floor mats. It's partially the relationship where the pedal is, compared to the floor mat. It's, the foam underneath it. It's this, friction in the pedal assembly. I think it's a very complex problem. I mean, it's possible that there's some, issue with the electronic software, that is causing problems, but there hasn't been any evidence of that yet for a specific electronic problem.
But you have to look for it before you can find it. Has anybody looked for it?
I mean, NHTSA and Toyota both say they've investigated, but to the caller's point, they have spent half a dozen investigations. At times they've said our resources would be better, put elsewhere, but if there is documentation that within the company, within NHTSA, there was more, suspicions than were let on, I mean, they're going to have some real problems.
They have never investigated the electronic throttle control issue, period. And when I submitted my defect petition, I submitted many technical reports, including a statement by the chairman of Bosch Auto Parts, the German manufacturer, and he talked about the probability of these kinds of defects in electronic components.
All
just one quick point. In 2008, NHTSA's Vehicle Research Center in Ohio did look at the electronic throttle issue, did extensive testing. Now, you can argue they didn't do enough, but certainly this issue has been looked at by NHTSA.
And I want to thank you, Jordan Ziprin, for joining us. He has a 2002 Camry in which he almost had a very serious accident. I want to just say here that NHTSA officials, this is in the New York Times this morning, who spoke on the condition of anonymity because the case is still being investigated, say their responsibility is simply to identify defects in automobiles, not to develop remedies to fix them. Their responsibility, these officials say, rests with the automaker. And the question is, how far has the automaker gone to investigate? Bill Visnick.
Diane, I'm not here to be an apologist for the car companies. That's certainly the case. But I think that, first of all, I would say it's always wise to have a healthy mistrust of a large corporation, large industries that make consumer products, and also the regulatory agencies that are charged with regulating them or being watchdogs over those industries. I think we have this same sort of basic relationship with the airline industry and the regulations and the agencies that are charged with overseeing those as
sure.
well. And so I think it's healthy to have a mistrust of that. On the other hand, I will say that electronic throttle control has been deployed on literally millions and millions of cars, not just from Toyota, obviously, but from all car companies now for several years. And given the millions of cars there are out there on the roads with electronic throttles, I would say that incidences in the hundreds or even the thousands that could be attributable to a number of different behaviors. It's a complex thing to control a car by both the mechanical and electronic systems and the drivers in charge of piloting them. The number of these kinds of incidents in relation to the population of vehicles out there with these kind of electronic systems is relatively low, I have to say.
All right, Bill Visnick. He's with Edmunds, AutoObserver.com, and you're listening to the Diane Rehm Show. Let's open the phones now, 800-433-8850. Send us your email to drshow@wamu.org. Let's go first to Max in northern Michigan. Good morning. You're on the air.
Well, good morning, Diane, and thank you very much. Your guests definitely point in a unique direction for Toyota, but not unique for the American automotive industry. And what I'm getting at is the disconnect that has reared its head with Toyota finally publicly. Internally, I know that they have been struggling with these types of things for a number of years, basically recent years. And the disconnect is that it's basically we call it the Americanization of the foreign auto manufacturer. And what that is that Toyota has finally succumbed to the American way of looking at these problems is let's keep putting it off until we really have to act. The government makes us or we've lost all customer goodwill. Now, Toyota, like any true Asian auto manufacturer, has always relied on customer goodwill as the driving force of their company. Without the goodwill, they don't exist. Well, now that has become quite lax, and this is basically an simple engineering problem, and you have a disconnect across the board from the governmental regulatory agencies to the manufacturer, and then, of course, what happens in this whole instance is the supplier of the parts gets caught in the middle, and they're the ones that actually ends up being on the chopping block, which is too unfortunate in this case because of Toyota being a very stoic company and controlling its engineering and designs very tightly and just letting the supplier manufacture what it is that Toyota sends to them through their specifications. So.
Thanks for calling, Max. David Shepardson.
No, I think he makes some good points. I mean, today you saw a totally different tone from Toyota. I mean, Jim Lentz, you know, they're, you know, Toyota sales president here said, I know we've let you down, and give us another chance. And I think they're really trying to shift the tone of the debate. But the company, you know, has, you know, look, this is a company that's gotten very large and has taken
very quickly
the world's largest automaker, and has now, you know, has put off fixes that some people were pushing, certainly when it came to the accelerator pedals and the floor mats. And, you know, I think there's still a lot of questions.
So is there a sense that quality has been sacrificed for growth?
Well, they had a big spike in recalls in 2006, and they vowed to, you know, change the culture and reduce recalls. And they did reduce recalls in 2007 and 8, but now the questions are, did they reduce them in part by failing to make ones that they invariably had to do later?
David Shepardson of the Detroit News. We'll be right back.
National broadcast of The Diane Rehm Show is made possible in part by the Annie E. Casey Foundation, promoting lifelong family connections for children and youth, on the web at aecf.org. By the George Lucas Educational Foundation, creator of Edutopia, your source for what works in public education. Learn more at edutopia.org. And by the Ford Foundation, working with visionaries on the front lines of social change worldwide at fordfoundation.org. This is NPR.
Spending less and saving more in an uncertain economy. Personal finance experts offer advice on how to improve money management skills and build financial security. The Diane Rehm Show, next hour. Welcome back. We're talking about Toyota's recalls, the effects on more than 2 million cars in this country, and their effects on the broader automobile industry. One thing I want to get clear. Someone said to me, David Shepardson, that if a driver finds him or herself in a situation with this floor pedal sticking or the acceleration for one reason or another, that the thing to do is to put your car in neutral, to disengage the forward movement. Does that work?
Generally speaking, yes. There's two different pieces of advice they offer.
Okay.
You're right, in terms of the sticky pedal, to place it into neutral and then, you know, pump that pedal to try to disengage it if it is indeed stuck, and then hit your brakes and pull over as soon as possible. If you did have a pedal that was stuck under an accelerator or a floor mat and you were going over 100 miles an hour, you should turn the car off by holding down that start-stop button for 3 seconds as part of trying to slow that car down in any way possible.
But if you've got a key switch on and off?
Well, you have a start-stop button. And then you have to hold that button down. These are vehicles that don't have a traditional key often.
Yeah.
So you hold that start-stop button down for 3 seconds to turn, to disengage the engine. If if indeed you're going in an emergency over 100 miles an hour like the driver in California.
But what I'm asking you is, if you don't have a stop-start button.
Oh, right, just turn the key,
just
absolutely.
Just turn the key. Right. But the first thing is to put the car in neutral.
Certainly, if you have a sticky pedal, that's definitely what you do.
Okay, here's a question from Maisha in Ann Arbor, Michigan, who says, is this a witch hunt? I remember no such discussions when the SUVs were having rollover problems. Quite often, all automakers take a low-cost approach at first. There were countless deaths due to rollovers before anything was done. What do you make of that, Paul and Gracia?
Well, it's just not true. I mean, there was lots of discussion of...
Of course there was.
SUV rollovers. That's what I make of it.
Okay. And here's another email from Paul, who says, I'm a Toyota mechanic in Durham, North Carolina. I've yet to see any problems with the gas pedal sticking. This problem may present itself in certain areas, the snow and wet of the Northeast or the dry Southeast. To owners of the recalled cars on a quiet side road or in an empty parking lot, I would recommend practicing turning off the ignition one click counterwise, which would turn off the engine and the sudden acceleration. Do not remove the key, that would lock the steering, a worse condition in traffic. With the engine off, by turning the key one click, one can coast to the edge of the road. So, all right, let's take a caller here in Washington, D.C. Jim, you're on the air.
Hi, Diane. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
And I must say, listening to your show makes it a pleasure to be stuck in traffic.
You're kind. Thank you.
Okay. Locally, there's a news channel that reported way back when it was a blame game between Toyota and the manufacturer of the pedal. And the end result was the defect was the material used in the design, which was given to the pedal manufacturer by Toyota. And earlier, your panelist had commented that it was a design flaw, so I was wondering if that information that I have is accurate.
David Shepperton.
No, that's right. I guess in terms of design flaw, Toyota said that it was that material you refer to that had the ability to get stuck in the pedal assembly. So in the sense that they've now switched out the material, and you're right, it was to Toyota specifications.
I guess the reason I had brought that up was because earlier you guys were talking about comparing design to other car manufacturers or pedal manufacturers, and I wanted to, it didn't sound as though they were comparing material use, they were comparing design. So if I'm off on that, then I apologize for wasting your time, but I just thought I'd bring that up.
All right. Thanks for calling, Jim. I hope you get out of traffic.
Thank
and
you.
Let's go now to Dallas, Texas. Good morning, Charles. You're on the air.
Yes, how are you doing? I heard that the problem is only here in the States with the cars that are manufactured here, that they don't have this problem in Japan. And I also heard that the part is assembled here in the States. The first thing, to be honest with you, I have a Toyota, a very reliable car. The first thing that came to mind was sabotage, but, that's just a theory.
Sabotage? David Shepperton.
I don't think that there's no evidence of sabotage. This CTS is a well-respected, publicly traded supplier that supplies lots of both foreign and domestic automakers.
All right, and to Rochester, New York. Hi there, Bill. You're on the air. Bill, are you there?
Hello.
Yes, go right ahead, sir.
Yes, this is not the first time it happened. I live in Rochester, New York, and we had a company here called Rochester Products for 50, 60 years that made all of the carburetors for GM. And they had sublet a design of a cam to another company, a supplier here in Rochester, and when I was working for that company as an engineer, and when I did discover a dip in this cam that I felt was going to cause a significant problem, I got a hold of my the president of my corporation there, a small corporation, and told him. I said, look, I said, this thing's going to cause a problem. And when that happened, they said, I told them I was going to call up Ratchet Products and tell them about it. They said, forget about it. This is none of your business. Stay
wow.
out of it.
Wow.
A year and a half later, two people died right here in Rochester at a gas station because the car had accelerated and would not decelerate. They pulled in and had to move from the one pump to another. And when they moved to the second pump, it would not back off. The car accelerated, ran into another pump, and set the whole gas station on fire. There were several people died around the country, too, that came out, and Ralph Nader was involved in investigating that. So this sort of thing, you see, it can be just the one person's decision that I don't want to upset the apple cart sort of thing.
Paul and Gracia, do you want to comment?
Well, you know, I think there's a lot of issues that are going around here. I think Toyota was late off the ball on this, both in identifying the problem and in communicating on the problem. But I do think there's also lots of conspiracy theories out there and other sorts of things. I mean, you know, the gentleman that you had on the show earlier who says, gee, it's really an electronic problem dating back to 2002. Yeah, I have no idea whether that's the case or not. I'm not sure whether you vetted him before you put him on the air or not, but there's a lot of stuff going on out here.
His comments were published this morning in the New York Times, Paul, so I wanted to talk with him whether, in fact, his allegations are truthful. That was his experience with NHTSA and with Toyota. So people are going to clearly have to do a little more evaluation on their own. Paul and Gracia's most recent book is titled Crash Course, The American Automobile Industry's Road from Glory to Disaster. Let's go to West Warwick, Rhode Island. Good morning, Elliot. You're on the air.
Hello. I'm thrilled that you finally discussed the thing that concerned me the most, that is what to do if the car accelerates. For the past several months, nobody, I think I've heard two radio stations or television stations indicate that you put the car in neutral. That should be out there every day, every hour, for every person who owns a Toyota. Fortunately, I have a 2001 Toyota. I decided not to buy a new one. I was told my car would last for another 10 years, and oh, please tell people and encourage Toyota to tell people what to do if the car accelerates.
Exactly. Elliot, I'm glad you called. And the other point is not to try to turn the key into the off position, but simply to turn it into the accessory position, which is just one turn. Thanks for calling. Let's go to Fortville, Indiana. Good morning, Ryan. You're on the air.
Hi, Diane Reem.
Hi.
Basically, my wife and I, we have a 2007 Toyota Camry, and I was also concerned about the statement earlier that was made about this possibly being a larger issue with the electronics. I purchased it used about a year ago, and basically we have noticed that it has had some lurching issues from dead stop. It lurches without, you know, just barely touching the pedal. And also, I've been in contact with the dealers explaining to them, you know, the issue that we've had with the lurching. And also, it's a really kind of a disconnected feel with the whole, the fly-by-wire thing with the gas pedal, you know, versus, you know, using electronics, basically. And they said that there's possible reprogramming of the computer that needs to be done and that they're aware of that. But I was wondering if this is really a larger issue as far as if it is reprogramming necessary, you know, to get your car back running the way it should be, what is causing this is really, you know, I guess basically my concern. I'd like to throw that out there if they feel that may be, or if that has been researched, the actual programming and what causes, the reprogramming to be done.
Any thoughts on that, Bill Visnick?
Yes, Diane, I've considered this for a while since the discussion has started to come up again about possible gremlins in the machine, in the software of these systems, and I suppose it's at least you can at least consider the notion that there is some potential there for a problem. What happens is at the pedal, there's a sensor there that reads the position of the pedal and translates that that reading to a motor on the engine that opens the throttle and essentially governs the how fast the engine's running. If there is a problem, let's say, with the translation of that signal from the module at your foot where the pedal is and how that motor, the software, is translating that desire from your foot to the motor, that is something that could be happening. Again, I would just stress that while it's definitely an economic disincentive for a car company to recall millions and millions of vehicles, of course they don't want to do it if they don't have to. In this case, if it becomes something of this nature, and you bring in the conspiracy angles now, the even greater disincentive and economic impact would come from, as in this instance, leading to a situation where you would lead millions of customers and people all over the nation to say, well, even Toyota doesn't seem to be making them like they used to anymore. So it's difficult.
He's senior editor of EdmundsAutoObserver.com. You're listening to the Diane Rehm Show. To Indianapolis, good morning, Douglas. You're on the air.
Yes, I worked for a Chrysler transmission. First started out manufacturing transmissions and then moved up and saw how the corporate structure of manufacturing was and the idea that ignore things, hope that they go away, the bottom line. The issue with these pedals are so questionable with the manufacturing CTS, and yes, they are ultimately are going to be the ones that's going to take the hit. Why somebody doesn't just come out and say to Toyota, get these cars in, get the computers checked out. I mean, it is so sketchy. It's running around in circles. Why doesn't somebody stand up and tell them to do it and do it right?
Question about their PR situation, David.
Well, I think that's what they tried to do today. They said their dealers can be working, in some cases, 24 hours a day. Have gotten the message. I think it's pretty clear. They are going to lose, I mean, by some estimates, it will cost them at least $1 billion on this most recent recall on top of all the lost sales. So Toyota is debt, and their market cap is down about $21 billion since it started. So Toyota is clearly paying a very heavy price, you know, not to mention their reputation and lost sales down the road.
And to Dallas, Texas. Good morning, Roger. You're on the air.
Oh, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Really appreciate it.
Go right ahead.
Yeah, my comment really, most of this discussion has focused on Toyota, but really, to me, it seems like Toyota did exactly what a company is supposed to do. They focused on profits. Stock market dictates that short-term be what is focused upon, and if it hadn't been for a high-profile accident, they probably would have gotten away with it. Really, the issue to me looks like more of a, again, regulatory failure. The NHTSA, I believe is pronounced, failed, as there have been so many regulatory failures. I wonder if the problem isn't more with the funding and staffing of our regulatory agencies.
David.
The caller makes a great point. NHTSA has had basically a flat enforcement budget. I mean, adjusted for inflation, it's actually declined over the last 10 years. And, you know, they are definitely, as the former administrator told us, you know, on Friday, NHTSA has been far more willing to accede to the auto companies when they come in with a problem and a solution.
Quick question. A number of people have said, I find it hard to believe the issue is just a defective accelerator pedal, chiefly because in the Lexus accident in California, the driver was a California Highway Patrol officer. I find it impossible to believe a trained officer would not have attempted to shut off the vehicle or shift it into neutral, either of which would have immediately rendered the vehicle useless, David?
Well, look, this accident was a horrible, clearly the main cause was the pedal getting stuck in the accelerator, or the floor mat. They went over 120 miles an hour, and even a police officer, when you're going that fast trying to stay in traffic, it's hard to remember, do I hit this button and hold it down for 3 seconds?
Well, clearly, more to come here as an investigation moves forward in Congress, and we'll certainly be covering that. David Shepardson of the Detroit News, David Ingracia, he's the author of a brand new book. It's titled Crash Course, The American Automobile Industry's Road from Glory to Disaster, and Bill Visnick of EdmondsAutoObserver.com. Thank you all.
Thanks.
Thank you, Diane.
Thank you, Diane.
And thanks for listening. I'm Diane Rehm.